Tonight is Tuesday night, February 11th. This is the Women's Mishnah Gemara Share. We're in the midst of topics in Masechet Brachot and handling the topic of Dvarim Shebikdusha, Ein Omrim Pachas Me'asara.
Okay, Rabotai. We started a sugya last week about 2 weeks ago, about Dvarim Shebikdusha, anything that is designated as something as a Dvar Shebikdusha, which requires a minyan based on the Mishnah in Maseches Megillah. So today we're going to see some debate about two parts of our davening. So let's take a look at, we read the Gemara last time, the Rif, we'll read it again, and then see the commentary of the Rabbeinu Yonah on this, who cites a Rabbeinu Tam, and several others. So if you look at page number 4, it was page number 4 last week, so I didn't change it. Omar Rav Huna, Hanichnas Lebeit HaKnesset, Umatza Tzibur Shemit Palalin. Somebody walked into shul and he sees that the Kehillah is already davening Shmona Esrei. Im Yachol Lehatchil V'Ligmor Ad Shelo Yagi Ashliach Tzibur L'Modim. If he can begin the Shmona Esrei and complete it in time for him to respond to Modim when the Shliach Tzibur reaches Modim, Yitpaler, then he should daven Shmon Esrei. Ve'im lav, but if he cannot daven Shmon Esrei, complete it in time to so that when the Chazan reaches Modim, he'll be stuck in the middle of his Shmon Esrei and will not be permitted to answer. It would be best not to start Shmon Esrei, but rather wait until the Shliach Tzibur reaches Modim. He will be able to join them, and then he will daven Shmona Esrei individually. That's what Rav Huna says. So apparently Rav Huna believes that one of the most important things is to recite Modim together with the Kehillah. Which Modim? Which we call Modim Derabanan. Modim Derabanan. Modim Derabanan is the only, in effect, response to the Shliach Tzibur when he says, V'sechazen einem v'shivcha l'tzion barachamim baruch ato Hashem, ha-machazir shechinaso l'tzion, Modim anachnu lach. Every other bracha of Shmon Esrei, all the Tzibur does is answer Amen to the bracha. Here, in addition to answer Amen, we bow down and we say Modim Anachnu Lach as well. And the reason why we do so is because not to join the Shliach Tzibur looks like you don't believe what the Chazan's saying. Modim Anachnu Lach says, we are going to thank you. Well, why aren't you thanking him? If it says, we are going to thank you. So the Gemara interprets the phrase Modim Anachnu Lach seriously and expects you to acknowledge by bowing and by responding a text of a modim very similar to the one that the Chazan is repeating, very similar, and in fact is a very famous cantorial piece for cantor and choir, where it is interspersed with the Chazan saying modim, the regular modim, which he's repeating, and then the choir does the modim derabanan at the right time, saying the words of the modim derabanan that correspond to the recitation of Modim by the Shliach Tzibur. It's a wonderful cantorial piece. So that's what Rav Huna says. But that's important to him. And the reason why it's important, as we'll soon see, is because if you are stuck in the middle of Shmona Esrei, you certainly cannot say Modim Anachnu Lach. You can't, because you're in the middle of Shmona Esrei, you can't say anything. But even worse, you can't even physically acknowledge and emulate the Tzibur and go like what? Modim Anachnu Lach. You can't. You can't just bow down and say Hashiveinu Avinu L'Sarasecha. You can't do that either. Why? Because Chazal told us we are allowed to bow only four times in Shmona Esrei. At the beginning of Avot, and at the end, Baruch Atah Hashem Again Avraham, at the beginning of Modim, and at the end, Baruch Atah Hashem Hatov Shimcha Elchon El Odot. No other time do we bow down during Shmona Esrei. Unless, of course, you are the Kohen Gadol. If you were to be the Kohen Gadol, an unlikely scenario that you would be the Kohen Gadol, so true for me too. I'm not a Kohen. So it's unlikely that I would be the Kohen Gadol. What? Right. Even in a male, masculine world, I can't be the Kohen Gadol. So the Kohen Gadol bows down every single beginning and end of every single bracha. We will learn that later on in Masechet Brachot if we do parts of the fifth paragraph. And if you were to be the queen, which is an unlikely scenario, and if I were to be the king, which is possible, then, once I start Shmona Esrei, Baruch Atah, I do not straighten up until I am finished the entire Shmona Esrei. The greater a person is in the totem pole, the more he has to acknowledge that he's not the top of the hill. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the top of the hill. So a Kohen Gadol who can have thoughts of grandeur for himself, does it at the beginning and end of every single bracha. And a melech does it throughout the entire Shmon Esrei. However, you and me cannot do so other than the designated times. Beginning and end of Avot, beginning and end of the bracha of Modim. Therefore, Rav Huna is only concerned about Modim. Because if you are not going to be able to finish your Shmon Esrei by the time he gets there, everybody in the room will be bowing, you will be standing erect, and people will think you don't think what the Chazan is charging us to do, bow down and what? Thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't have to. And you are Poresh Min HaTzibur. You are isolating, separating yourself from the rest of the Tzibur, and therefore Rav Huna is very concerned about the recitation of Maudin. Yes?
Why should we care what... I know you want to be part of the Tzibur, but why do you care what other people are thinking?
Because we always do. We always care what other people think. Because we know what they're going to do as soon as they get a shul. Did you see Debbie? We were all saying Modim, and she was going like this. That's all. That's what's going to happen. We're trying to protect you. Yes?
Why isn't he concerned about Kedusha?
That the Gemara is going to ask that question.
Oh, okay.
That's precisely why we're learning this. The short answer is, we'll see it, he believes that a Yachid can recite Kedusha himself. That's why we're learning this Gemara. Because it's anti everything we've ever understood about Kedusha. Yes. Yeah.
Chama. There's no concern here about saying Kriyat Shema before. In other words, the Aliyah spell is not a concern to Rav Huna.
No. You're asking me where should he pause in the meantime? Yeah. So, where should he pause? Let's assume he assumes he can't make it.
Right.
So, what does he do? He stands there and waits until the Shliach Tzibur gets up to Modim. So where is he supposed to pause? That's a different issue. You're right. Based on that which we learned in Smichas Gula L'Tfila, many would say he should not pause at Ga'al Yisrael. Because you can't respond there. Then you're stuck in the same dilemma as if you're in Shmon Esrei. So where does everybody say you can? By Micha Mocha Be'elum Hashem. You're allowed to pause there and wait and respond certain things at that time. You can answer Baruch Hu, you can answer Kedusha, and you can answer Modim as well. So that would be the place for him to wait until the Shliach Tzibur passes Go and collects $200, which is passing Modim, and then you start your own Shmon Esrei and you try to finish it, you know, whenever you can. Yeah.
What determines where we bow besides obviously Modim and obviously the Naftan Korim, but why do those other places, why did they determine that we bow at those places?
Well, that's a good question. And the Modim is based on the fact that when you're speaking to the king and you want to praise him, you have to demonstrate some degree of physical subordination, and that's why it's perfectly okay. It's at the same thing as va'anachnu korimu mishtachavim, because modim can mean two things. Modim can mean I am bowing down, or I'm saying thank you, I'm praising you. There are two interpretations. When we say in Aleinu on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Va'anachnu korim u'mishtachavim u'modim, something u'modim means I'm bowing down with my head against the floor. It's called pishut yodayim v'ragam, where you prostrate yourself completely. Others say, no, it's Va'anachnu korim u'mishtachavim, that's enough. U'modim means I'm saying something to you. What do we say on Yom Kippur? Baruch Shem Kivod Malchus Sol Li'olam Va'ed. That's what they said in the Mikdash. The Omrim, Baruch Shem Kivod, the Avodah. Yes.
Now that
one,
my question is the other ones, not those. I know why we bow there, but why?
By Avot.
Yeah.
The answer is because it's at the beginning of your encounter. So when an Eved comes to the Melech, the first thing he does before he says anything is he prostrates himself. And he speaks to the king, Baruch Atah, you're bowing down. Who to whom? Hashem Elokeinu. As if somebody went to the king and he would say to the king of Prussia, you know, blessed art thou, king of Prussia.
And the fourth bow
is only at the end. Okay. The end of Modim, the bracha of Modim. Because when you finish saying thank you, what do you do? You take exactly, you say you take leave of the king directly for this particular bracha. That's why we do it, only those four. Yes.
So if Modim is putting your face down, then what is Modim Mayhem?
Okay, that's a good question. That's why, so you can take stages. Anachnu korim is to bend your knees. Umishtachavim is to bend down. Then umodim is to put your knees on them. Then vinoflim al pneyam. It's a four-step thing. It actually is. Bending your knees, bowing down, falling to the floor on your knees, and then prostrating yourself completely, vinoflim al pneyam. Yeah. Just as an aside, the Rav always claimed that in the Mikdash, women never engaged in Kriya. Never. And therefore he didn't think it would be necessary for women to do so on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, particularly on Yom Kippur, because in the Mikdash, the women were situated in a place where they did not necessarily engage in Kriya. I'm never going to make such an announcement, because a lot of people think it's important to engage in Kriya, and that's just fine. Just fine. So anyhow, that's what Rav Huna said. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi disagreed, and he said, no. Im yachol lahagia lahaschil uligmor, ad shelo yagia shliach tzibur lekedusha, yitpalel. If he can finish Shmon Esrei in time for when the Chazan begins the repetition of Shmon Esrei, and he will be up to Kedusha. Well, if he's up to Kedusha and he finished, he'll certainly be up to Modim as well. But he has to be able to complete his Shmon Esrei by the time the Shliach Tzibur gets up to Kedusha. Then, if he can't, he waits by Micha Mocha, and he responds to the Kedusha. We'll talk about what you respond if you're standing there for Micha Mocha. We will see what you respond. So the Gemara ve'im lav al yitpalel. But if you can't finish your personal Shmona Esrei by the time the Shliach Tzibur gets up to Kedusha, do not daven, stand there and wait. Wait until they get up to Kedusha. B'mai komiflegi, what is the kernel of the debate? Rav Huna Savar Hayachid Omer Kadosh. He says, I don't have to wait for the Chazan to get up to Kedusha and join the entire Tzibur. A Yachid has a right to say Kedusha. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Savar Ein HaYachid Omer Kadosh. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, that's not true. And in fact, no one thinks that Rav Huna is really right. We'll see. There's an avalanche of attack and support against him. The Chaino Rabbi Yitzchak, Ein HaYachid Omer Kadosh. Just read the next line. Amar Avada Barahava. Minayin She'ein HaYachid Omer Kadosh. How do I know that? Shene Emar. We read this pasuk in Megillah when we did the sugya in Maseches Megillah, when I listed the Mishnah with all the items that require a minyan. Shene Emar. V'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael. And here the Gemara doesn't go through, the Rif doesn't go through the whole thing. You compare toch, how do I know toch means 10 people? Because I compare it to the Meraglim, and then, not doing it, just going to, right to the punch. Kol davar shebikdusha lo yehei pachot mi'asara. Every time you are dealing with a davar shebikdusha, it cannot be recited with less than 10 people. With less than 10 people. Now, the, and Kedusha, the recitation of Kedusha, although interestingly enough, it does not say it in the Mishnah. Does anybody happen to have their sheet from 2 weeks ago? Anybody have it with them? Okay. So if you, are you looking up what you wrote?
No, I have a sheet for
her. Okay, good. Good. Today you don't have it. Okay, no luck. So the Mishnah there says... Oh, is that it? Let me see. I will.
It was the
Derek
Bear.
You
can look in your phone
and surprise you,
right?
I know, of course I can. But I know, I don't have to. I know it by heart. I just want to see if you have it there. No, you don't. You don't. So, right. The Mishnah there lists the following things. Ein porsin al shema. I don't want to spend a lot of time. I'm just telling you what this, what Rashi says is pores al shema. Remember I told you, a guy walked in very late for shul, and he missed baruch. So what does he do? The clock. He finishes Yishtaba, he says Chatzi Kaddish, Baruchi! Everybody else responds. Well, how many people do you have around to respond? 10 people. Fine. Ein Ovrin Lifnei HaTeva. You don't have Chazor Sashats unless there are 10 people. Okay? So if you don't have Chazor Sashats, where is Kedusha recited? In the Chazor Sashats. So I don't have to list that Kedusha requires 10 people. I don't have to list that Kedusha requires 10 people. Why don't I have to list it? Because the only time that Kedusha is ever recited is in the middle of Chazar HaSashatz. If there aren't 10 people, there is no Chazar HaSashatz, and then, of course, no Kedusha. Now I want you to challenge me based on the next thing. The Mishnah says, "Ein no sin es kapehem, pachas me'asara." There is no birchat kohanim. So ask me the question. Well, that's also the Rechazan. So there, that we shine and explain. Who said that birchat kohanim has to be only in Chazaras Hashatz?
Maybe if a Kohen is in a good mood and he wants to bless us, we're here. He walks in right now and he says, okay, can't do it at night because it was part of Yavoyah. So I want to bless you. Make believe it's daytime. I want to bless you. So I need a special chidush to tell me, no. Birchat Kohanim, even though where Birchat Kohanim is recorded in the Torah text, in Parshat Naso, it is not identified as something that needs ten, it doesn't look like it. Therefore, the Mishnah has to tell us, don't come to any strange conclusions, you have to have 10 people, and it's only in Chazarat Hashat. Because in the Beis HaMikdash, it's only at the conclusion of the Avodat Hayom. Only at the conclusion of the service of the Korban, Tamid Shel Shachar, and Tamid Shel Beinu Arbayim. That's what they use, and the Korban Nosef. After every cycle of Avodah, the Kohanim bless them in the Beit HaMikdash. Fine. Very nice. So, the impression that is generated is, of course, that Kedusha certainly requires a minyan. Certainly requires a minyan. So, it is hard to imagine that Rav Huna just forgot about that. And he says, a yachid is allowed to? So anybody want to suggest an in-between opinion to give us a little sense about what Rav Huna says? Anybody want to suggest a third position which will not make him so outlandish? After all, he is Rav Huna. Anybody want to suggest something not to make him so outlandish? The two alternatives on the table thus far are, you need a minion. The alternative, a yachid can say it. So I'm going to give you a question to get your mind percolating. A statement. If you daven this morning in your house, Rav Huna will not allow you to say Kedusha.
If there's 10 people around, even if they're not.
Ah! There's got to be 10 people around you, even though it's not within the framework of the Chazaras Hashatz. It's like it. So now let me give you the actual halachic conceptual thing. When we say that all of these things require a minyan, there are two ways to look at it. Longest wise. A, that Kriyas HaTorah is triggered when there is a minyan. The obligation to read the Torah, the obligation to have Chazaras Hashatz, is when there is a minyan present. If there is no minyan present, there is no chiyuv for you to hear Kedusha, nor to hear the Torah. So on Shabbos, if you just happen to daven at home, you violate nothing by not having heard Kriyas HaTorah. Why? Because it's not a chovat yachid, it is what's called a chovat tzibur. Choice B is, the obligation is a personal obligation to hear all these dvarim shebikdusha. But they cannot. You cannot discharge your personal obligation unless there are 10 people present. But it's a personal obligation. You have to make the effort to do it. For example, I'm going to use Kriyas HaTorah as the launch pad because it's been debated back and forth. Back and forth. Rav Chaim Brisker, the Rav's grandfather, when he traveled to conventions in various parts of Europe, every Monday and Thursday, he jumped off the train in order to get to the town and hear Kriyas HaTorah. And then he used his running ability to next train that was coming, even there was no stop, to run up and jump up. I'm only joking. He would get off, interrupt his trip to make sure that he hears Kriyas HaTorah. Here's Kriyas HaTorah.
even though the Ramban said black on white, that Kriyas HaTorah is an obligation generated by the Tzibur. There is no obligation upon anybody here to hear Kriyas HaTorah. The obligation is upon the Tzibur. Well, if you're not with the Tzibur, you're not obligated, so why get off the train? In fact, the Rav always told the story that when he went to his maternal grandfather, not paternal, Rav Chaim Brisker, his maternal grandfather would make fun of Rav Chaim for jumping off the train and waiting around for another day or two to catch the next train just to hear Kriyas HaTorah. And he said, the way he was able to touch up everything, he'll dray you a cup that the Ramban agrees with him too. And it's not true. Just look at the Ramban. He says it's a chayvas tzibur. But the Rav was machmir as well. When he used to come in from Boston, and he had to leave sometimes before davening the last minyan in Boston in order to fly in on time. So he would get to come into the dorm and tell Hishamis when it was made, and get together 10 boys who come next door with a little bit of smebish, and we're going to lay Kriyas HaTorah. So I can hear Kriyas HaTorah. So he obviously believed that it was an obligation upon him that had to be performed within 10 people. Perhaps that's what Rav Huna has in mind, and he's not so outlandish. It doesn't mean that Rav Huna allows you to say Kiddusha in your living room if you're davening alone. You can say Kiddusha as long as there are 10 people present. Were you always going to have 10 people present? And sure, just make sure there are 10 people present. That's it. That's possibly what Rav Huna had in mind. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, no. You can't even recite Kiddusha as an individual based on the fact that there are 9 other people lying around. No. The 10 people have to be saying Kiddusha at that particular time. You may not need 10, you can at least 6, the majority, have to be saying what you're saying right now. That's... They have to be present. Of course 10 have to be present. That is correct. Yeah. So let's take a look at the Rabbeinu Yonah, who will bring a couple of things in for us. It's right below it. It's bracketed on the bottom. It says, bracketed by my kamiflagi, what exactly is the nature of the debate? Rav Huna Savar Hayachid Omer Kadosh. That's all he said. Yachid says Kadosh. He didn't tell us which interpretation of that phrase is correct. Does it mean you can say on Rutland Avenue, you can say Kadosh Kadosh in your house? Or does it mean you have to be in shul in the presence of 10 people? He doesn't say. Kilomar, Rav Huna hayachoshesh lemodim, v'lo hayachoshesh yomar hachazan hakedusha ba'ot shel mitpalel. Rav Huna was worried about modim, but was not concerned that the chazan be saying kedusha at the time when he is ready to. Ba'ot shehu mitpalel, mishum de svirulei, shehu yachol lomar kedusha betoch hatfilah. He can say Kedusha in his private Shmon Esrei. In his private Shmon Esrei, Nimtza she'ein mafsid klum. So, why do I have to make sure that I'm going to say it when? Say it when the Chazan's saying it. I can say it when? When I'm davening Shmon Esrei, I come up to Baruch Atah Hashem Mechaya Mesim, and now I say Kedusha. Obviously, according to our interpretation, means there got to be 10 people around. But he can say it in his personal Kedusha. Now, yes?
Is it ever going to, do you think, or could you see it ever happen now that it's different with FaceTime and stuff like that? It's almost like the unity of these 10 people, not necessarily in the same room. I'm just curious, do you think it'll ever be that you could count it as having a minimum of 10 people?
It's an interesting question. Thus far, that question has been asked, and thoroughly rejected. The fact that you can see somebody on a screen does not mean that they're necessarily together. And this means you have to be together. And in fact, what happens if people are davening in a shtibula, and there's a little corner here, a little corner here. Some of the people are here, some of the people are somewhere else. You require miktsasan ro'im elu et elu. In order to combine them, some have to have the ability to see the other group. If they can't see each other, even though they can hear each other, it's not enough to be considered together. So,
why do you think it's a suggestion?
Why? Because they don't like new things. You know. Yes.
So how does a women's section that's upstairs curtained off with, you know, maybe with a hole in the floor, how can the women then answer to anything?
Because the miksasan roen elu is elu is just to create the minion.
Okay.
The ten. The ten are downstairs. Once they hear something, they can answer. Because there is a minion present. Yes.
I don't think virtual is the same as reality.
I agree with you.
About everything,
I agree with you. Yes.
I was just going to answer that the idea of Barova on Hadras Pellet sort of doesn't really work on the internet because there's so much else going on the internet that is really not Hadrashable.
Okay. But you could create a Barovam with a video camera of the screen showing 1,000 people in shul.
You could create it.
You could.
It could also be hacked.
Okay, so it'll be hacked. That's
you
all.
Pretend you're at the hotel.
What?
You pretend you're at the hotel, but you're really not there.
Yes, that is true. So that's what Rabbeinu Yonah says. That okay. So now here comes what I would consider a major difficulty of Rav Huna's allowance. Can you tell me what constitutes the essence of Kedusha? What is the Kedusha? What is it? What do we say which constitutes Kedusha?
Kadosh,
Kadosh, and Baruch Kivod Hashem Mimkomo. As well as Yimloch Hashem Li'olam L'Hayetzion Adov Dar Haluyah. However, as you well know, when the Chazan gets up to Baruch Atah Hashem Mechayeh HaMeisim, we don't just start saying Kadosh. There is a charge by the Chazan. The Chazan charge, if you daven Ashkenaz, Nikadesh et Shimcha Ba'olam. Let us sanctify God Kishem Shimakdishim Oto Bishmei Marom, just as they sanctify him in the heaven. If you daven Svarad, you say the same thing, but a couple of different words. Nakdishach, Nakdishach, Vinaritzach. Same thing. Kinoam Siach. So by Musaf, it's a little different. Keter Yitnu Lecha. That is correct. It's a different theme. But basically, the common theme is you don't simply go ahead and mimic angels unless you are instructed to do so by the Shliach Tzibur. That's why you say Nikadesh. And in fact, many people are of the opinion, and they are probably right, the only one who says Nikadesh should be the Chazan. Should be the Chazan. Because Nikadesh is he speaking to the audience. Let us sanctify God's name. Just as the angels did. And what the angels did, Vikara Zeh El Zeh Amar. They called to one another and said, let's sanctify God's name. Even they had a little Chazan. Not sure if it was Michael or Raphael. I'm not sure who the Chazan was. But right now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's got really good Chazanim up there. Moshe Kosovitsky and Yossel Rosenblatt. So they're all davening in front of all the angels. So logically, and many people, yeshivisha people, many of them, have this idea that only Chazan says Nikadesh. Only the Chazan says Li'umatam Baruch Yomeru. Only the Chazan says Uvidivrei Kachicha Katuv Lemor. And we answer Kadosh Kadosh Baruch Kvod Hashem Bimkomo and Yimloch. It makes lots of sense. Lots of sense. However, the Magen Avraham cites a Zohar who says that you should, everybody should say at least Nekadesh. And the Magen Avraham says, it's worthy of following. Okay, fine. But the bottom line is, there is never any declaration of praise of God, which is called the Davisha Bikdusha, unless there is an invitation to do so. What invites you to say Baruch Hashem HaMevorach Le'olam Vo'ed? What is the charge? Baruch Hu Et Hashem HaMevorach. That's the charge by the Shliach Tzibur. Bless God who is blessed. Baruch Hu Et Hashem HaMevorach. And we respond, Baruch Hashem HaMevorach Le'olam Vo'ed. Every single time that there is an opportunity to sanctify God, to get our Shemitusha, there is a charge. We don't just say, Yehei Shmei Rabba Mivarach Le'olamu Me'olmaya. The Chazan charges us, Yit Gadal V'Yit Kadash Shmei Rabba. Please sanctify and glorify God's name. And then he says a couple of words, and then we answer. You don't just say Yehei Shmei Rabba without it. And in fact, there are many people, if the Rav were to daven Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur with us, he would be a little opposed to the way we have now sung all of our piyutim. All of our piyutim. Does anybody remember how they used to do it in the Alta Haim, in your shuls 50 years ago, 40 years ago, 30 years ago? How was it done? Think of any of the piyutim of Rosh Hashanah. What?
Responsively.
Yes, but correct. So we didn't just start singing V'chol Maminim all together. The Chazan took the lead and we repeated. Then we went ahead of him a little, and he repeated. Whatever it is, it's always response. Why was it recited responsively? Why? So that there can be a give and take, a charge by the Chazan for us to engage in this particular line of poetry, which speaks about one aspect of God's greatness. That the Chol Maminu Shehu Goel Chazan. Hadon Yechidi Levoi Olam. That's why, just one second, that's why we do it. That's why it was done that way. But when you do it that way, it stops the tempo. So when you want to sing the part that we are supposed to sing, and he's supposed to sing, it just gets interrupted. So now what has become the standard? We'll just sing it all together. Which has its powerful side as well. But from a halachic point of view, the Rav always said that's not the way to do it. I know what he said. But I also know how it adds to the temperament and to the thinking of shul, how they respond when everybody sings it all together. I know how it works. So, but that's why it's done that way. Because you don't ever recite a davar shebikdusha without a charge. How do Kohanim bless us? Correct, but what happens? He doesn't just start saying Yivarech Hashem v'yishmerecha. So the Chazan has to call out him. Yivarechacha, please say Yivarecha. And they say Yivarechacha. Chazan says Hashem. That's why it is a makri. There's somebody who calls out. Trust me, the Kohanim know the words. They don't need the Chazan to call out and serve as an introductory guide. They do it because even the Kohen, who is charged by a mitzvah aseh to bless us,
cannot do so unless he is specifically directed to do so. It's based on a pasuk. Ko sevarchu et bnei Yisrael, amar lahem. Tell them to what? Amar lahem. Tell them to bless us. So that's why we do so. So in light of all of this, I'm going to invite Rav Huna into the room. And what are you going to tell Rav Huna? What are you going to ask Rav Huna? No, what are you going to ask Rav Huna? Come on.
How can you say
it? How can you say it as an individual? Sure, there are 1,500 people in the shul. Who cares? Who gave you the right at this particular time to say kadosh, kadosh, kadosh without having been charged to do so? That's the real difficulty of Rav Huna. That's assuming that he's accepting our interpretation, that he's saying it in shul, but not together with the shliach tzibur.
The whole idea of a charge to do something seems to underscore this whole concept of you can't do anything alone.
Correct.
That's what the whole idea of why you need an introduction to everything. It involves your interacting with others.
Correct. So, it involves, but you say it a little sharper. Philosophically, we don't address the king unless you're told to speak at that moment. So we recreate that by having the Shliach Tzibur represent us and grant us permission to respond and offer something to the king. Just even as the angels do it. That's what the introduction says. Kishem shemakdishim oto bishmei marom. That's the way they do it. Kakatuv al yad neviyecha, just as it's been authored by the Navi, kadosh kadosh is Yeshaya, but the angels, vikara ze el ze. They don't just, v'omar, they don't say v'omar kadosh. They call out to one another. Buddy, go right ahead. Rafe, go ahead. Mickey, now it's your turn. Please. Right, but you can't do it alone. That's the major difficulty with Rav Huna. Yes.
So why are we doing the Kadesh? Why doesn't the chazan just say it on Eidim?
Because the minig has been to follow the Magen Avraham from the 16th century, who says you should say it, and the minig is to say it. That's the minig Yisrael. In certain places, in certain yeshivot, if you daven, they don't. Only the chazan says nekadesh. That's it. Shabbos and during the week.
Yekis on Hashanah Yom Kippur don't have the nekadesh part. They just go into takatzuvah yadaviyah.
Ah, that's one of the... Okay, so the Yekis, I'm sure, do it right. It's one of my pet peeves with a lot of chazanim, and I have to tell them what to do. If you know, if you listen carefully to our Bali Shachris, they say Nikadesh Shimcha Ba'olam on Rosh Hashanah, even though it's not printed in your machzor. All it says is in bold print, Kakatuv al Yad Nevi'echa. Now, why does it say Kakatuv al Yad Nevi'echa? Because it was preceded by a giant Nikadesh Shimcha Olam that's printed for three pages in your machzor. We skip it. It's a piyut. The piyut is an elaborate Nikadesh Shimcha Ba'olam. So if you're saying Nikadesh Shimcha Olam 15,000 times in poetic fashion, then you don't have to say Nikadesh. Now you can go Kakatuva Yad Neviyecha V'Karoz El Zev Yomah. Now why by Musaf don't we say Na'aritzcha?
Because we're coming in from
what? You know it is. What? No. What's the introduction?
It's,
no.
Ein
Kitzvah. Ein Kitzvah is an elongated Na'aritzcha.
Right.
And everybody sings that. Everybody does that. Ein Kitzvah. Right? And so since you do Ein Kitzvah, it concludes what? Bishilush Kedushos Kakatuva. It can conclude. It mentions that we say Kadosh three times. We've been charged to do so. So therefore you can go Kakasuyadriyama is on your mind. But just to skip the whole thing and start Kakatuva Yadaviyaka, because you know, means nothing. It means you don't have a clue as to what you're doing up there. And I tell all of them to do so. And that, by Musa, there is another time that we don't say anything. We don't have to say Nikadesh. By Ne'ilah. Mm. There is a paragraph that starts, Sharei Arnon, which is recited by everybody, and then the Chaz, it's a short paragraph, but everybody says it, because it's not a five-page piyut introducing the Kedusha of Ne'ilah, it's five lines, everybody says it, so then the Chaz just says, ends it off, Kakasuva, Yad Neviyach, Karazel Zavi Omar. That's because it can never be recited without the charge. So, Bali Tefillah, who don't know that, just get up there. They skip the whole piyut. So in broyers, where they make a living out of saying piyutim, right? They have books and books of piyutim. Do you have a daven there?
Yeah.
Books and books of piyutim above and beyond that are written in the machzor. There is even one shul in this community, in Beth Abraham. They distribute what they call the black book. The black book is more piyutim and more slichos than we say. Because there's, I guess when they started doing that. What?
The rabbi wanted
it. Yeah, that's slichos. Right. Correct. We also do slichos. But they say a lot more slichos than we do. And that's, a lot of it is from the Broya Kehila. Fine. But that's the pattern is always. Same thing when you say Shlosh Esrei Midot during Slichot. We don't just say Hashem Hashem Kel Racham V'Chanan. The Chazan gives us the charge. V'chein Kotur, right? Hashem Hashem Vayikra V'Shem Hashem Vayavor Hashem Al Panav Vayikra. That's the charge for everybody. Hashem Hashem Kel Racham V'Chanan. And that requires a minyan. That requires a minyan. So that's what's happening there. That's what's happening.
If you're by yourself, you wouldn't daven Ne'ilah?
Yeah, of course you daven Ne'ilah. You just don't say, you can say all of the piyutim, but the Kel Melech Yoshev afterwards, there are some who say you're allowed to if you say the trup. If you say, you read Hashem Hashem Kerachem V'Chanun with the trub. Hashem Hashem Kerachem V'Chanun Erech Apayim V'Rav Chesed V'Yemes Notzeh Chesed L'Alof. Then I'm like reading the Torah. You're always allowed to read a pasuk in the Torah. That's what some say. And in fact, we're going to see some, even Karo will say that for a different part of the davening, which I'm getting to now. Which one?
What you're saying
with the no, doesn't say any place in the Machzor. I don't think it says any place in the Machzor don't say Kedusha without a minyan either. It doesn't say that. They expect you to know something. That's all. Yeah. Right? Yes. 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 Now, good. I want you now to go to the last bracketed piece. The last bracketed piece. The last bracketed piece where it's bracketed V'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael. And I want you to go to the third line. The beginning of the third line. It says U'le'inyan kedusha shel berchat Yotzer Or. We all davened this morning, and we said Birchot Shema, Yotzer Or Uvarei Choshech, and then we came to the words B'Safa V'Rura V'Nima Kedusha Kulam Ke'echad Onim V'Omrim B'Yira Kadosh Kadosh Kadosh. Should we skip that or not? Now I know you didn't, but the Rabbeinu Yonah and the overwhelming majority of Rishonim say, you skip it. You skip it. Let's read it right now. Ve'ein u'linyan kidusha shel berchat yotzer or, and
Ukidusha shel uva letzion goel. After Chazaras Hashatz, you say Ashrei uva letzion. So there you say as well. Should you say that? Does it require on minyan or not? Im tzarich asara im lav, says the Rabbeinu Yoina. Nechliku bo hamifarshim. The commentaries disagree about this. Yesh omrim, there are those who say, dibichlal davar shepiktusha heve, it's considered a davar shepiktusha, ve'ein omrim oto bepachot me'asara. And you don't say those words, kadosh and baruch kivor Hashem imkomo, unless there are 10 people. Ve'omer kishimagia l'safa birura, when you come to b'safa birura, yidaleg oto. Skip that whole phrase. Kiddusha kulam ke'achad. Don't say that, because you're not going to say kadosh kadosh. So I'm going to just keep your eyes trained on that. I want to show you who says that. He just says yesh omrim. I want to show you somebody who says it. Please go to page 6 for a minute. Page 6. This is Rambam chapter 7 of Hilchot Tefillah, where the Rambam describes the pattern of davening. Seder Tefillot Kachi. Bashachar, in the morning, Mashkim Adam Umivarech Berachot Eilu. You say what's called the Berachot HaShachar, which he just described. V'korei hazmirot, and you read Psukei Dezimra, zmirot. Zmirot doesn't mean singing songs on Friday night. Zmirot means the songs which David HaMelech composed. U'mivarech lifnehem u'lachareihem. And you recite a bracha. Baruch Shomar, Baruch Ato Hashem Melech Mulo Batish Bachot before, and Yishtabach at the end. V'korei achar kach shema u'mivarech lifaneho u'lachareh. Then you recite the Shema and recite its blessings before and after. Umidaleg kedusha min habracha rishona shelefaneha, and you skip the kedusha found in the first bracha of the Shemone Esrei. She'ein hayachid omer kedusha, because an individual cannot say kedusha. So you skip it. The only time you would recite this is if you're in shul. So either you will recite it as we Ashkenazim daven, or if you were around the 800 years ago, the chazan would say it and you would just listen. Just listen. If you go to page 7 for just a moment, go to page 7. This is Karo, the author of Shulchan Aruch. In Siman 59, Halacha number 3. Yesh Omrim, there are those who say, Shehakidusha Shebiyotzer Yachid Omra, that the Kedusha in Yotzer Or can be said by individuals. That's what Ms. Sregel said last week. Why? Lefisha Eina Ela Sipur Dvarid. All it is telling us that there are people in heaven who do what? Who say Kedusha. It's not anybody telling us to what? All it's not telling us a charge, Nikadesh, let us sanctify God's name. However, V'yesh Omrim, and others say, Shiyachid Midalga, that an individual skips Kadosh Kadosh. Ve'einane emeret elo b'tzibur, says Karo, V'yesh
lachush l'divrayem. You should be careful about what this second opinion just said. V'lizaher, and to be careful that if you're going to say it and not take my recommendation, shiyachid yorena b'nigun v'ta'amin kikorei batorah. You should say it as what? With the ta'amin, with the truck, and then you'll be in as if you're reading in the Torah text. Tell me why this suggestion is very difficult. Tell me why it's very difficult. Tell me why it's very, very difficult. Think about what you're doing and tell me why it's difficult.
You daven for a purpose. I mean,
a little sharper. You're davening.
Right.
And in the middle of davening, what don't you do?
You're reciting the Torah.
You don't learn in the middle of davening.
Right.
Tfilu l'chud, v'toru l'chud. Tfilu l'chud, v'toru l'chud. In fact, many say you shouldn't have a sefer open during davening, during chazaras hashatz. Nothing. I'm not going to make such an announcement. Because I'm happy that they're quiet. But technically, what you should be doing, but we'll see, you should be standing with your feet together, listening to chazaras hashatz, and fulfilling your obligation of chazaras hashatz when the shliach tzibur davens. So it's hard to understand how that is a way out. That if you really believe that it's kedusha and therefore should not be recited by an individual, to suddenly allow the individual to say it and the pretext, oh, I'm learning right now, is an extremely difficult position to entertain.
How also are we able to take the same exact line and say in some places it's just recitation of some
it is part of Tanakh.
It is, but why is it that
it's a good question. It's a good question. But all I'm doing is saying that this is something which is typically used to sanctify God's name. It's a good question. Good question. Now the next line, Hagoha, is the Ramah. The Ashkenazi cohort of Karo, who now records Ashkenazic law. Ukvar Poshat Haminhag Kisvara HaRishona. In Europe, in Poland, says the Ramah, the minhag has become like Karo's first statement. What is Karo's first statement? An individual can say it. The Yachid Omer Osa. And a Yachid says it. Ukishonim kedusha zot omrim ota bekol ram. That when you say this, one provision says the Ramah, you should say it out loud. Say it loudly. Okay. That's a totally different discussion why he requires loudly. But he writes that the widespread practice is that we say it. It is not only the widespread practice in Ashkenazi communities. There is not a Sephardic kehila that I know of that skips it. Today, everybody says kadosh, kadosh, whether you daven together or you daven individually. Individually.
Let me just ask another question. Why? I still don't get why you need a charge to sanctify Hashem's name. One of the whole purposes of davening is to sanctify Hashem's name, whether you're doing it individually.
No.
Davening
is petition. That which we
not
have
all
a,
of it.
I know.
Shmoneh Esrei is.
I understand. But Shmoneh Esrei is the essence of what tefillah represents. So all the other trimmings are add-ons. So to give you the right to petition HaKadosh Baruch, even that we will see a little later on requires a license to do it. Mm-hmm. Even that. We'll talk about it. But certainly anything above and beyond the has to. Chazal did not want to a man to think that God is at my disposal. I can say whatever I want any time. He's listening. They don't want you to think that way. They don't want you to think
isn't
that.
Isn't it any time? It's during prescribed time.
What?
Prescribed time when you're davening. It's your time.
Your question is a very good one.
Chazal doesn't want you just to talk and say, you say thank God all the time, all during the day, if something good happens or bad, whatever, you say thank
then
God.
Then you say a bracha all day. Like
what?
You say a bracha, you're always saying
yes,
God.
I hear what you say. I'm not saying no. Go to page 8 for a minute. And this, these are the responses of the Rambam, responsa of the Rambam. And as I told you last week, his son Avremele, Rabbi Avraham ben Rambam, said, most people don't know my father's Jews. They were maybe printed 50 years ago. No one ever had the manuscript of the Rambam's Jew was called Pe'er Ador. No one ever had them. In fact, a lot of Rishonim have been discovered within the last 50 years and have come to light only within the last few years. Thousands of, hundreds of years, nobody ever had these manuscripts. Nobody. The Rav said he never saw a Rashba in his life when he grew up. Never saw a Rashba. His father never had a Rashba. He had Gemara, Rashi, and Tosfos. That was it. Didn't have the Ramban, nothing. They didn't have. So this is a tshuva of the Rambam, and he writes, V'omnam, Hayotzer, the bracha of Yotzerar, Ani ro'eh, I really believe, Kishem shimitpalel oto shliach tzibur, Kach mitpalel oto hayachid. An individual can say it as well. It's the same Rambam I just showed you 2 minutes ago, that in his halachic work, he wrote, what should a Yafid do? Skip it. Apparently, at the end of his life, after Mishneh Torah was already written and printed, he changed his mind. That's what his son said. Pop changed his mind. And therefore, even Rambam would admit today, and that's always a debate, always a debate. Whenever you have Rishonim, who wrote codes and responsa, and there is a conflict between them, which one is really the authentic position? It's unlikely that he changed his mind. It happens, change his mind. Why did he change his mind? Yes? Okay. But let me give you a little more scholarly explanation. But the tshuva doesn't have to be when you're 80 years old. I don't know exactly when he wrote his tshuva. I don't remember. I can check that. But I don't remember. But whenever, so there's, this question comes up a lot with the Rush. He wrote tshuvot, and he also had his code, his commentary in the back of the Gemara. Some people say the code is there for the Beis Medrash. For people who are into learning, who want to understand conceptual abstract development, you want to know what bottom line is? Look at the tshuva. The tshuva is written for the masses.
For more practical.
For a more exactly, for practical application. That's what some say. Of course, there has to be a machlokes about this. And others say, when you're dealing with the masses, you have to give in to them sometimes. And they'll say things that they don't really believe is 100% accurate. You want to know what I really believe? Come into my little Beis Medrash, and you'll look at my code, where everything's thought out, and so on and so forth. There I'll tell you what's exactly, absolutely true. And truth be told, that I can hear both sides of the coin. Especially when you're writing tshuvot about practical things. There is a very famous story of the Netziv, who was teaching Yoredeya to his students.
The chicken?
Yes. The chicken story.
It's a grain story.
And the Netziv said, he was teaching the kids about, if it has this broken something, it's definitely a trefa, you're not allowed to eat it. Okay, as took place at that time, somebody knocks on the basement door, a woman comes, she's got a chicken in her hand, and shows it to Netziv, and the Netziv says, I want my talmidim to pass and get some real practical experience. So they all say, it's an open and shut case. It's a trefah. Nothing to talk about. Of course you can't eat. Then the Siv says, thank you very much. He turns to the lady and he says, it's kosher. You're allowed to eat. She walks out of the door and they start screaming at her. Rebbe, you just taught us that it's what? That it's a trefah. He said, you didn't understand her. She hasn't had a meal in 2 months. I know her personal background. And I know there is one remote minority opinion who says that it's kosheva. So for her, I'm not going to tell you that it's kosheva, because the majority opinion, of course, that it's trefa. But I know her background. So she'elot and tshuvot often reflect a whole consideration of ideas that are not relevant when you study the law of the Beis Medrash. And the Beis Medrash, they don't care how you do it, whether you're rich or you're poor. They want to know what the halacha is. But in she'elot and tshuvot, apparently I would think that the Rambam felt he just did a lot of surveying and nobody was listening to him in any of it. Everybody was saying kadosh, kadosh, whether you davened at home or davened at shul. May have been nitpashe. So the Rambam says, eh, you know what, let everybody say it. And they shouldn't feel that, what? They're disobeying me, Mr. Rambam. People probably went, oh, hey, you're like, I'm Muppets, what are you saying this? Don't you? You know what? It's possible. I'm not sure, but it's possible. But here, the Rambam changed his mind, and in his text of the davening, when he wrote that, I didn't put it in. Okay, I'll do that next time. When the Rambam has a text of the Siddur at the end of Sefer Ahava, the Rambam, when he wrote the text of the Siddur, made no indication that there's a difference between single and individual. Tzibur and single. Just writes, you should say kadosh, kadosh. Here is the text, kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. Everybody seems to say it, because that's what he's doing. He's giving you the actual text of the davening.
So is it preferable not to say
it? No! You say it.
You were saying he was compromised.
I know, but we listen to the Ramah. The Ramah says it's standard procedure to say it. Please say it.